Good morning. Greetings to each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here. It's a little bittersweet for me. We're only a few of us able to be here. We've been battling sickness all week, most of the family, and we thought yesterday things looked on the better side, and yet here we are this morning, just a few of us, but looks like there might be some more of that going on, just judging from some part families being here, but still a blessing to be among you this morning in worship, and thank the Lord for his goodness and his faithfulness. Maybe we just pause for a word of prayer. Would you all stand with me? God, our Father, this morning we just continue to bow our hearts before you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for being a good God. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you that we can be gathered together here, worship you. Lord, thank you for your spirit that you put inside of us, and you guide us and lead us and direct us. And pray, Father, today as I just share what you've laid on my heart, that I'd be able to just bring you glory and honor and be able to just give me clarity of thought and sharing these things, and just open our hearts to you. Would you guide and lead us today in this service? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I bless you all. I see many familiar faces. I see some not so familiar. But it's a blessing to me, and in various times hearing just reports and testimonies that come from the congregation here, what the Lord is doing here. I want to bless you all and encourage you to continue being faithful, seeking the Lord and allowing him to guide your lives. Thank you for just the blessing you all have been, and for us there at Shining Light, and lots of dear brothers here that have had some sweet times with, it's a blessing just being among you here this morning, and encourage you all, and trust we can continue to serve the Lord together in our lives and our families. Something that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart this morning to share is there's a couple different titles that we could use, but maybe the one I'll go with is communicating the heart of God to our children. It's something that's been, I guess, a burden of mine, something that there's maybe, there's things that people that preach some, maybe have some pet topics, you might call it. And this is probably one, just the burden I have of, as I look across maybe our own, in our own congregations, across the Christian world in general, and then even further in just the cultures around us, the world, and what's happening with the family, children that are, homes that are broken, children that are devastated or are being born into broken homes. It's a burden of mine, and I think it's a real testimony to those around us, seeing families that are together, that care for each other, that love each other, that are parents that find it a blessing to have children in their home, and that not only just to have them there, but having relationships with them and finding them as not only the parents relating with the children and having a friendship that's there, but children that actually, you know, there's a very common thing today that, and it's creeped even into maybe Christian circles, about it's common for children to rebel against their parents. It's actually encouraged. And then obviously the secular world is all about that. Just anything from whatever, everything that they promote is about the rebellion. And I just like to talk about some things. I find myself needy in these areas. I'll share a few things, and there's some older men here, some gray hair that have a lot more experience and wisdom in this. So you can go to them, and they can give you more insight in some of these things here. But I'd like to let's first of all, I'm going to be doing some reading here in Matthew chapter 22. We have three different people's accounts of, I think, a very same conversation. And I'm just going to read each one of these. Someone had shared with me many years ago, someone that when we were just young married, my wife and I, and had young children, someone that I looked to a lot, or that I served with about 2 years in the same, or about a year and a half, that we served together in a place of service, and he shared some things with me. I often talked to him. He was some older, not a lot older, but had gone through quite a few things in life, and we talked about a lot of things. And just here in the last probably, 10 years or so, came across him again, and we were talking about some things. And something that he shared with me that I didn't really go into dialoguing more. I sense more like there's, I learned some things from him, but there's also some things that I didn't, that I just had to kind of let go. But one of the things that he brought out was that what he was trying to convey was that we can't pass on the spirit or the to our children. We can't, that faith in that kind of a way of the Spirit of God. And I think I understood what he meant. It was more that the Spirit of God comes to our children. But there's also a common thing, I believe, that's out there, a thought that is out there, and that is that our children need to experience some things for themselves and learn some things from themselves. In other words, we were, when we were young married, we were admonished by some people about maybe being too overprotective with our children. I'll never regret that we were maybe a little plenty protective. But there's a common theology or theory that our children need to experience things to not be so sheltered. But I believe if you look at, we have children, they're in our homes. We know that they take things in. They want to learn. They're curious. If there's something to learn, they want to learn it. They're going to learn things somewhere. Where do we want them to learn it? Do we want them to learn it in our homes, from me as a father, from their mother? Or do we want them to just go out and find knowledge and information from that's coming from often a very secular viewpoint? God has some very good, as we look at the Bible, obviously this is where we go for our answers, right? Here's where we learn. Here's where we, as we look in the scriptures, where we go for our direction. And I guess in part of it, what let's just turn to Matthew chapter 22. You're probably there already. Starting to read in verse 34. And Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." Now we'll go to Mark chapter 12, reading verse 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandment is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And then we'll look at Luke's account as well in Luke chapter 10. We'll read from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25, and reading through verse 37. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Notice Luke's account goes further. It gives more of the, I think Luke was a man that was very detailed, but he gives more of the conversation that was there. He, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So these three different accounts, obviously the same story, but they point back to Scripture in Deuteronomy. Jesus had responded in that way. But they went back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'd like to just do that here this morning, going to Deuteronomy 6. So obviously we're doing a little bit of reading here. And we see God's heart here, and Jesus reiterated that. That was reiterated throughout the New Testament in various places. But we'd like to look at maybe getting a little bit different or more of a picture of what was going on when these commands were given. And more, maybe a little bit more of the heart here. So I'll be reading the whole chapter here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the wayside, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy father, thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to the cities. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then be aware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now, I know there's things that we can go into this scripture and pick out and dissect, and, you know, these are things we hang on to, and these are things we don't. And that's not my intention to do that here this morning. We're in a new covenant, in a New Testament era. But I'm wondering, as we look at this, do we understand, do we see the heart of God, what God's heart was for his people here when he gave these commands? And as Jesus gave these commands, or reiterated that, do we understand the heart, what he's saying, and the dangers that he's bringing out? You know, we're living in a time, in a day, when there's so much evil around us. It's difficult sometimes, and I'm sure we're all facing it at times, especially as fathers, in navigating through this life, this world, through technology, through the evil that's around us, and that seems to encroach in around around us. And it seems like there's aspects of it where it creeps into the church, in among people that are called, that call themselves by the name of the Lord and call upon God. And it's there, and it can bring confusion to our families, to our children. We're living in a time, and I really appreciated what was shared this morning about how God views the poor. But we're living in a time when our houses are full of good things. We're drinking from wells that we didn't dig. There's just plenty all around us. It's a time when it's easy for a young person that's willing to go out and work and do something. Money is easy to come by. It's not hard at all. I mean, in fact, you need a little more than motivation. You need motivation, but you need to be willing to be disciplined in some areas. But it's just seems like it's so, there's things that are happening around us that are so prevalent. And I find it as a dad, as a father, I'm not sharing these things that because I feel like I've attained. Actually, I like to keep them in front of me because I feel like there's so many times where I fail and I just need to keep brushing up on this and seeing, being reminded, because daily we face, what is the heart of God in this? What is the heart of God for my family, for my children, for the time that we're living in? Times seem to change. It's different. You know, we hear our parents talking about how things were different in their generation than it was in the previous, and we found it, some things being different, a lot of things being different in our generation than it was in our parents, and our children are facing things. So there's things that are changing. We know the Word of God doesn't change. The heart of God doesn't change. But how do we navigate through these things? And and I think just some basic principles that he's bringing out here is he talks about, he brings out here and says to talk about these things in our house. In our house, at home, we're talking about the things that he's commanding here, but about the principles of God, about the heart of God, about what God would want for us and for our lives. He says when we're walking in the way, when we're out doing practical applications, real life situations, we find opportunities to talk about what would God do? What would God have me to do? What would God have me to respond in this way? And I think it's okay to make it, if we're working with our children, we're walking together, we're working together, we're doing things together, let's talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. What would God have me to do? I find sometimes even just in things that seem like very carnal, that, Lord, this isn't working out for me. Give me wisdom here that I can figure out a little bit what's going on with some of this. And having God always there, God there as help me through. He is the one that we lean upon. He is our life. He is our breath. It says, when we lie down, is he the one that we're meditating on when we lay down in our bed, when we rest? Are we meditating upon him? When you rise up, it says again, when we rise up. And I think in this, walking in the way, rising up, is practicing. I don't believe we can if we don't understand and know the heart of God, we cannot pass that, or we cannot teach that to our children. So I think not only is it a verbal, a thing that we're talking about, but our children should see us as that's part of what we're doing. It's who we are. It's me. God coming, God working in and through me. When someone mistreats me, am I responding how God would like, how God has instructed me to treat them, to being kind? There's things that we see around us, those that are broken around us, those that are cast down, those that are hurting and wounded because of whatever situation whatever choices they've made in life. And do our children see us? Does our family see us like the story of this Good Samaritan and having showing mercy on those people? Or are we critical about how that, you know, they need to just get a job or learn how to work or learn how to do this or be responsible? Or do they see a heart of compassion, a heart of care that comes for those that we meet? Talks about the sign, having it as a sign on our hand. And I see it as carrying with us. It's a daily reminder, something that we're carrying with us that's there. Writing them on the posts of our house and our gates. And I know, I think we've met people or we've seen people that do this literally. They'll tie things around their hands and around their forehead, and they carry it along literally. But I believe having reminders, having things that are around us that remind us. And I know many of us, we have Bible. If we walk into our houses, there's Bible verses, there's scripture on the walls, there's things that remind us who we are, remind us of things that God, how God would have us to live. So the heart of God here is, do not forget. He's not, and I think many of us would be like, forget God. How would we forget God? I shouldn't have to worry about that. But what he's really bringing out is, don't forsake. I think many people today would say, I haven't forgotten God. But have we forsaken his ways? Saying, do not, in verse 12 there, do not forsake, forsake me, and going after other gods. So how should I be communicating then with my family? We talked about some of the things that where he's saying in walking and taking it with us, talking about it at home, daily looking at the scriptures and having our children know, seeing us, that the scriptures are important for us. It is our guide. It is our, that's where we find direction for our lives. Is that what they see as being important in my life? Do we communicate that with them, that loving the Lord our God with all of my heart and my neighbor as myself, that that is important, that that is important, that is my heart? We're talking about communicating this morning, communicating. And I'm wondering, question that I have to ask myself often is, am I communicating effectively? Am I communicating effectively? Because we can talk about things, we can talk about these things, but how does it, so in our relationships, husband and wife relationship, is our hearts connected together? Is our relationship such that, you know, if the home is not connected, if the parents are not connected, husband and wife aren't connected, it's going to be really difficult to portraying the heart of God, to communicating the heart of God to our children. Because it's not, it seems like if we're not able to work out those relationships on that level, it's going to be really difficult to persuade our children and our families that it works, that it is right. So husband and wife relationship, parents to children, the relationship there, children to the parents. Do we understand the heart of God? How about in our brother-to-brother relationship, sister-to-sister, and in families relating together? Are we communicating, effectively communicating the heart of God with all of that? And where we're at I'm just amazed sometimes how people can, there's people that can just so freely talk about God and their relationship with God and how beautiful it is and what they're learning, and yet their relationship with their brother or sister is just, it's off. It's not there. And even in some instances, very much not there. It's very distant. That's how we effectively communicate, is when we actually put it in practical, in practice. Practically speaking, we work together. We make things work out. And I'm not saying there's not times where things, you know, there are differences in various places, but in having a restful and a peaceful relationship, when you have the relationship where you readily walk across the other side of the street, rather than passing a person. So what do we communicate about? What are things that we should be communicating about? Obviously, the scriptures, the Bible, that's the foundation. That's where we go to for a guide. Those are things we can communicate about. What about our vision? What's our vision? What's my vision as a father and as a husband, as a family? What's our vision? And we communicate that together with other families, in the body of Christ. We also communicate with our families about the culture that we're in, talking about the things that we're facing, whether it's in the close culture, in our communities, whether it's in people that we just meet in the store, the culture that's around us, the American culture. There's lots of opportunities to talk about things that might be different than what the heart of God is that are going on around us. And are we communicating those things? And just life in general, work, we can communicate our, about our work, about our recreation. What recreation should we have? What habits do we have? Do we communicate these things with our children, with our families? What are good habits? What are bad habits? What are our hurts and what are our pains? What are things that we go through? And how do we deal with those things? Some practical things is that we do that what we might take for granted, easily take for granted, is just a simple thing of being honest. We just take for granted that's a given. We're honest. But do our children know and understand why? Have we taught them from God's word? Why is it important? What does God say about people that lie and that aren't honest? What about in when someone hits me? What about when just even other areas, concealed carry permits? What about our conversations that we have and our words that we use? Do our children know about idle words and why we don't use those? Are we communicating what God's heart is with that? And letting our yea be yea and our nay, nay. What about rest on Sundays? Do we communicate the heart of God with that and the purpose of that? About taking a day, and that's a whole different subject, but of rest and what the heart and the principle is of that. I think sometimes we can get caught up in the technicalities of it, and like whether someone like the Jews had where you pick up a stick, is that work or not? But I think if we understand the heart of God in some of these things, you don't really need to, we're happy, we're glad for that rest. We're glad for that day. As we go through the week and we're active in other ways in our lives, we're active in reaching out in ministry and in our work. And these are things that we're happy to talk about. What about places that we visit or maybe don't visit? Do they understand the heart of God with that? And just some things I put down here was fairs, rodeo, truck and tractor pulls, sports arenas. What about sports? Do they understand the heart of God with that? Maintaining a carefulness on a small and a large scale. And I think talking about moderation, especially when it comes to things like playing, doing things together, you can take things that are on a get to a pretty major level, scale, leagues, sports leagues that are out there. Exercise is good. Playing together is good. But are we being moderate about that? And what happens in those things? Where do those things tend to take us? What about in our talking about modesty? And when we look at that, we can look at it in a large, there's a broad spectrum of that in our houses, in our possessions, in our clothes. Are we talking to them about being modest in these things? Or are we making exceptions and being good stewards and having seemingly, sometimes we can have these I don't know, that's probably a can of worms we might not should open up, but it's just talking about the heart of God in our possessions and in what we do. And when we talk about some of those things and have instill the heart of God in our families, in our children, and talk about them as families and as brothers and sisters together, I think some of the little things that tend to want to creep in, they suddenly go away, because if what God wants is, and these possessions that we have are God's possessions, and having food and raiment and therewith to be content, then some of the whole aspiration of going after more, more, more and wanting bigger goes away, because it's not the heart of God. We have the principle, the purpose of the veil. When that's understood, and when our daughters understand that, then it's just cover. Let's cover then. Let's not make it a show, or let's not make it a size issue. And it tends to, when we convey that to our families, and what all of that does, and we look into Scripture, I think those are things that can that just come to our families and say, well, that's what I want. I want modesty in that as well. And we can talk about to them about diligence, about rising early in the morning. Sometimes we get into the routine of just, hey, it's time to go to work, or it's time to do this or that, and we have the principles of rising early in the morning, being diligent with our hands, and conveying and communicating the heart of God with that. Sometimes we like to bring into that, well, if you're never going to be successful if you don't get up early. And we can put a heart in them of a desire to be successful. I need to be successful. And I think there's little things like that that can instill things in the hearts of our children, rather than how does God view this about being faithful, about being diligent, and not being lazy, not being just a sluggard. There's a lot of scriptures that can be looked at with that. And we could talk about a lot more. There's trucks and souped-up cars and all those things that go with all of that. And our children need to hear us talking about those things. They need to hear us talking about those things and what God's heart is in it. Courtship. When does that conversation start about purity? It starts way before the courtship. Starts way before that. Do our children sense that we not only want to share the heart of God with them, but that we care about them? We care about their future, that what God has for them in store for them as they grow older, that we're raising godly young men and young women. Godly mothers and fathers. Do they understand that? What about when there's failures? Do they see the heart of God come through in that when there's failures? Sometimes it can be easy as parents to be disappointed. And that can come through quicker than the heart of God in wanting reconciliation and wanting healing. I trust that our children sense that coming through. God's mercy to the broken. I think each one of us here desire to effectively communicate the heart of God to our families, to our children. Ephesians 6:4 says, I'm just going to turn there. I didn't write it in here, and I'm sure I trust to quote it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Our desire is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Sometimes we do things that provoke them, and we need to be careful with that. I think we need to have those conversations. Are we doing something? Is something that I'm doing provoking? Or being, maybe, I don't know how your conversations go, but it's hard to get out of your children whether you're doing something that provokes them. So I think we need to be just sensitive as fathers in that. And I think open the conversations, but still think about our responses. Think about our communication with our families, with our children. I'd like to look a little bit at the health, having a healthy environment for this communication. If we want to effectively communicate with our children, then it starts at a very young age. Actually, I think it starts at birth. And no, there may not be much response, but I think having that connection there, we want their heart. We want their heart from birth. And as we spend time with them, Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Do they know that? Do they know that I, as a father, you as a father, as a mother, look at them and view your children, that they're a heritage from the Lord? They're a blessing. Do we bless them? I'm often challenged with that. It's easy to be critical and to share things and see things that need to be, they need to be corrected or need to be corrected or the word that I'm wanting is not coming to me right now, but it's easy to be critical, but are they hearing us bless them and encouraging them, thanking them for being good children? Our children want to be good children. They don't want to be bad children. There's things, there's behaviors that come through that they need correction for, but they want to hear us bless them and encourage them for the good work. There's always something we can bless our children for and encourage them in. We also need to correct them, and we need to give them clear boundaries and guidelines. I remember as a youth hearing just, I'm not sure what the subject was, but I think there was a survey done, and I believe it's still true today, that children struggle, especially youth, teenagers, struggle with vague answers or not getting an answer. And I think about that a lot, and I probably fail in it a lot. It's just sometimes we have to think about something. We get a question, and we want to think about it, or we want to take some time, and it's hard to just give a quick answer on it. But our children want clear direction. They want guidance. They desire that. They need that stability. But looking back from a young age, being involved in every part of their lives, you know, when our children are small, are young, it's not real difficult to get their heart. They're readily everything is a big deal. They come and want to share these things that they face, whether it's joys, whether it's hurts. You know, they stumble and fall. They want to hear those things, and if we as parents aren't listening to those things, then we probably won't hear it when they're 12 and 16 and 20. We probably won't have hear what they have to say. And I trust you youth aren't tuning out here. We're coming that direction as well. So I was going to mention that in the beginning, that sometimes youth and young people, children, tend to tune out a little bit when we share these kind of messages. But I believe there's coming a time, Lord willing, that you'll be glad for what you hear with some of these things, but also responsibility that you have to your parents, even as children. But looking at that communication, playing with them, we're talking about having a healthy environment for communication. Have a healthy environment to then communicate the heart of God to our children. Going on to another part here, being slow to speak and quick to listen. Slow to speak and quick to listen. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Sometimes we can be quick to correct something and maybe not understand the whole situation. And I think there needs to be balance with that. There's also a verse that talks about, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of him is, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, basically set to do evil with him continually. But it's talking about sometimes there's things that are going on that maybe I as a dad just don't want to deal with, or I'm not sure, it's just hard. I've dealt with this before, and surely it'll correct itself. But sometimes there's another verse that says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest." And I remember the day that a dear old brother gave me that. He wasn't really actually that old, but our children were young, and he shared that with me. And it's what I needed, because I tend to be kind of merciful and thinking, they're gonna learn it. They'll grow out of it. But sometimes just correction is what it needs. Just some discipline and a firm hand. And there's rest again. There's rest. I think we can all as parents identify with that. But at the same time, sometimes, especially as our youth get older, we need to be sensitive to some of those things. Some of those things they're going through. Being swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes your children are wrestling through things, trying to figure things out, and we give them direction and counsel. But sometimes we can also use some of the wisdom that we have or the knowledge that we have, the things we've learned, and almost use it as a weapon against them rather than being understanding and sharing with them and understanding where they're at and what they're going through. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. He that spareth, Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Encourage us to hear and understand our children's hearts. When it's said, we hear a lot about having our children's hearts. But recently I heard someone say, do my children have my heart as a father? Do they have my heart? And that I appreciated that thought. It goes both ways, because there is the scripture that, I'm not sure that I have it. Yeah, I think I have it later on here. But it talks about the hearts of the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So I don't know where we're at here this morning. I know some of you, I don't know all of you, and I'm glad that, you know, in this part I don't know where we're at here this morning. But there may be some parents that think that, or that have faced failures. Parents that might be seeing maybe in the stage that they're at in life where they feel like there's been failures and it's too late for me. Maybe there's children that are saying, my parents have failed. And, you know, they can't really share with their parents. Can't share with my dad, can't share with my mom, without just getting, you know, a response that doesn't feel the best. Malachi 4:6. I think we're familiar with this. Excuse me. Familiar with this verse says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Do we believe that? If we go to Luke chapter 1, so that was Malachi 4:6 was the last verse in the Old Testament. And then we'll go to Luke chapter 1. Verses 13 through 17. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Talking about here, about John coming and preparing the way of the Lord. But this is in the last days, in the time after when Christ comes, where the hearts of the children turn to the fathers and the fathers to the children. And so I encourage us, if there are struggles, if there are things that have happened, there are things that are difficult, we both, parents and children, have a responsibility. And I'd like to challenge us as youth to think about that. If there is some thoughts of rebellion, some thoughts of maybe doing my own thing, Maybe my parents don't understand. And I'd like to challenge with you with the thought, do you think you'll do any better? And something that I was challenged with a long time ago, many, many years ago, was that how we tend to, as a youth, this was in my youth, how I tend to respond to my parents is then how my relationship will likely be with my children. And that's always been very sobering to me in how, as I look at that, and we all desire that as children, our desire is to our parents, I believe. I think it's a natural desire. In fact, I've heard many testimonies, and just recently another one where this was just a secular, not even non-Christian lady was sharing how that life was normal in their home, just regular. She felt like it was a good home until her dad left. The home was broken, and it was done. From that time on, it was just real difficult, with the home broken. But unless our hearts are turned towards each other, excuse me. And I like to think about or encourage, challenge us to turn our hearts together, to turn our hearts towards each other. Obviously, Christ needs to come into the center of that, needs to be there. And then as the fathers turn to the hearts of the children. And children, and if we look at Philippians, actually, I'd like to just, sometimes there can be I trust this is not the case here at all with anyone here. But sometimes youth can have a thought of maybe being more, they understand things a little better than their parents do. They're maybe a little more spiritual. They have some more insight than what the parents do. Going to Philippians chapter 2. Now here we have the exhortation to be like Christ. And Christ, let's start reading verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus being our ultimate example, one that had it all in the glories, yet he humbled himself and he came on this earth. And are we taking him as an example? If I feel, and I think we can take this in whether it's sometimes the thoughts, what I was started there with the children feeling like maybe they feel more spiritual than maybe what their parents do. And I trust that thought isn't here this morning. But if it is, and this can even be in relationships with one another as brothers and sisters, but notice the spiritual one, the one who, Jesus Christ, the one, the principle that we have here is that he made the first move towards reconciliation. He humbled himself and came to this earth. So if we have it together, and we are the ones that have more spiritual insight, am I making the first move to be reconciled with my brother, with my parents? Remember the prophecy, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. And the other thing we have here is humility. That all requires humility, right? He humbled himself. Am I willing, as a father, as a husband, if I'm a child, if I'm a wife, am I willing to humble myself? If we're going to be able to have that healthy environment to communicate effectively the heart of God, and we want to be reconciled together, am I humble? Have I humbled myself? Am I willing to humble myself to do what it takes? I just like to, maybe in closing here, exhort us and think about the time that we're living in. I believe we're living in a really dangerous time. Sometimes I think it's probably not been seen before in the way it is. And yet, humans are humans. It's been like this, I think, for thousands of years where there's been real dangers. Nonetheless, we have a very real enemy that's out to steal, to kill, to destroy. And just thinking about the times that we're living in and the dangers that we have, if we are we able to, and my burden is that I want to endeavor to do and leave with each one of us that we're not, that our children are understanding and are getting the heart of God. We can put up fences and teach them to respect the jolt of the fence, if you want to call it that way, or put up boundaries. And I think that there are some of those things that are good that we need to do. I think actually it's important. I believe some of those things are, there's principles and there's application that needs to be made. But unless our children understand the heart of God and get the heart of God and what God's heart is, you can put up all the fences. We can put all the boundaries that we desire. And it's still not, even in that, I think we've seen where dead religion even is still not going to it be the heart of God. I'm still not going to understand that. So I'd like to look at Luke chapter 18 yet. Maybe read Luke 18 here in closing. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through verse 8. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and came unto him. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I wondered why he tagged that on the end. Shall he find faith on the earth? And you know, I think we're here because of maybe someone in our lives, someone that we might have met, someone that was willing to share the gospel with us. You think about how many thousands of years ago that Christ came, the gospel, when Jesus Christ came, and how the word was passed on from generation to generation. Faithful men and women that taught, whether it's their children, ministers that preached the gospel, parents that prayed, faithful generations. And I have to ask, someone shared that with me recently, and how that, maybe because of what we have here, what we're able to hear the gospel today is because of someone being faithful. And am I being faithful in sharing that with my children, with my family, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will live on? And it's scary, the statistics that are out there and what's happening in Christianity and how fast people are losing out. But trust as we convey the heart of God to our families that the name of the Lord will continue to receive glory in this world. Lord bless you all.